episode 119. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 119 of the Walking Leader podcast. I am your host, David Guerra, the author of The Walking Leader and Great to Follow. The Walking Leader podcast is here to help give you the rules and the tools to help you succeed as a leader, professionally and personally. Without any further delay, let's dive in. Let's get this show started. In this episode of the Walking Leader podcast, we're going to talk about new hires and successfully onboarding. The first impression, folks, we've heard this time and time again ad nauseum. People tell us, you only have one shot at making a first impression. Make it count. First impression is a lasting impression. And once you've made that first impression, there's no going back. And folks, this is true. This is true of the new hire process, the onboarding process, the new employee orientation, whatever you have, this is true. This is that one first moment to make it shine. And one of two things are going to happen. The new employee is going to be excited to be there, or the new employee is going to be doubting why he's even there to begin with. Because if he applied for this position or she applied for this position, went through the interviews and everything sounded great, they sold themselves, they believed in what they read in the job description, they believed in what they see from the outside looking in, but when they get there, it just turns out to be a basic, as we used to call it in the Army, a Charlie Foxtrot, a cluster flub. Well, we didn't use flub, we used a different word. But when it turns out to be like that, there's a problem, and then that's when the employee doubt kicks in. That's when that one moment of doubt starts seeping in, and it's once it's in, it's not going to go away. They're going to start wondering, well, what did I get myself into? And folks, you can't do that. You went out, you needed people to come in, you needed people to work for you, you needed people to do a job that has to be done. You took your time to create a job description. You took your time to go through the hiring process, the interview process, the reference checks, everything. You've selected that one person, and now it's time to get them on board. But all of that is for naught if that first impression is wasted, if that first impression is gone. So that's what I want to talk about today. New hires and successful onboarding. As I said, that first impression, there is no do-over. There's no do-over. Once you've done it, it's done. Sure, you can come back and kind of redeem yourself, but you still have that first impression. See, the new hire is excited to be, first of all, is excited to be hired. They're excited to be an employee of your organization because they saw this job opening. They were excited about it. They took their time, their effort to fill in the application, submit the resume, the whole nine yards. References were set, and they were ready to be part of the team. And so they got hired. Now they're going to be part of the team. They're really doubly excited now because all of that work is paying off. First day, they're ready for the goods and promises to be delivered. And the goods and the promises are what they read in that job description. It's what they heard in the interview and the answers that were given back to them. So they're ready to be part of the organization. They're ready to do the job the employee was hired to do. They're ready. So then comes that first day. And in most cases, that first day is known as new employee orientation, or NEO. New employee orientation. What is this nonsense? It still exists. It's still out there. NEO. We've got to go to NEO. We have NEO this week. Look out, NEO, new employee orientation. And usually it just turns out to be a couple of hours of filling out forms, taking an ID photo, and poof, you're on your way. Back, get to work. What time is there to establish a solid foundation between the new employee and the entire organization's foundation? In an NEO, there's no time. Sure, maybe somebody from the leadership office, somebody might show up and say a couple of words like, welcome aboard, glad to have you on the team, good luck, we're going to do good stuff together, and all of that, hoo-ha, and come on, and rah-rah, and let's go team, fight. But that's it. And that's the last you'll see of that individual unless you're called on the carpet and it's your last day at the organization. Really, there's a disconnect and it's right off the bat. So that's what the new employee to me and my experiences with NEOs have been. See, a couple of hours in the morning on the first day of working is, you know, just committing those couple of hours. For one, the first working day is purely nonsensical. There needs to be more. The brief welcome, like I said, the brief welcome aboard by the CEO or her representative is not going to cut it. See, where's that first impression? It becomes a lasting impression. That removes any doubt. Well, you know where it is? I'll tell you where it is if you don't know. And if you don't know, it's because you're probably already committing these crimes, these NEO crimes. See, that first impression is right out the door, and good luck with that. It's just that simple. So folks, we need to develop something. We got to get rid of that mindset of the NEO. Well, yeah, they want to get to work. We want to get them to work. The HR people don't want to spend any more time than they have to dealing with new employees. It's bad enough that they've already committed all this time with the hiring and the setting up interviews and screening people and so on and so forth and whatnot and what this and what that. So I understand that. But that's a mindset that also needs to change at the HR office, at the HR level. So the onboarding process is just that. It's a process. It's an entire process where there's a start, there's a finish, there's explanations, there's demonstrations, there's practical applications, and in some cases, there's probably an examination or two. And that's a good thing because the process, the entire onboarding process must be all-encompassing. And the CEO, the top dog, whoever's at the very top of that ladder must make time to be there. It's not negotiable. If they're at the top, they can set schedules. They can say, you know what? Every new employee day, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to take time to be out there and meet them and greet them. And not my representative, me, because I'm leading this entire faction. I'm leading this entire group. I'm leading this entire organization. And if this is the only time they get to meet me, I'm going to meet them. You can't have a representative do that. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for the representatives to be out there. Now, the CEO, the top, the president, the executive, whatever, whoever's at the top, that they must be there. That's non-negotiable. Set that rule, create that rule, establish that rule, believe in that rule. Because it shows the employees that, hey, even at the top, they're going to make time. And if the top can make the time, everybody else below that can make the time and effort. So department heads and group leaders, well, I'm going to say that's optional. Here's why. I would rather have new hires meet someone from the specialized departments that they would be talking to on a regular, consistent basis. And I'm talking about the IT help desk. Get somebody from the IT help desk to come in. No, not the IT director. No, I'm talking about the IT help desk. When I dial that phone number for help desk up at the corporate office, I want to talk to somebody there. I want one of those people to be there at the onboarding. The HR clerk or the administrative clerk, sure, they're going to be directing traffic, but they also need to be there and say, hey, look, I'm so-and-so, and this is what I'm going to help you do. This is what we do. This is what you do after the fact. The warehouse clerk, the supply clerk, the maintenance supervisor, the warehouse supervisor, those people, they'll be dealing with them on a more consistent basis than they will with the vice president of accounting, than the vice president of anything. Sure, it looks good on paper. Oh yeah, I took time to went and visited the new hires. But what about establishing those connections and making those networks right from day one? There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. Because anyone that's been in business long enough knows that the real work gets done at the front lines, not up in the ivory towers, not up in the C-suite. There's no real work up there. Those ivory towers are for working lunches and strategy sessions for planning future work. While the front lines are for working through lunch and employing the tactics to ensure that the work gets done. So you see the benefit there? You see the benefit? Again, as I said, the ivory towers, the C-suite, they're for working lunches and strategy sessions for planning future work. And the front lines are working through lunch. They're coming in early, staying late. They are working through lunch. And they are the ones employing the tactics to ensure that the work gets done, either on a customer-facing side or a employee-to-employee side, department-to-department side, one side of the counter or the other side of the counter. But they're the ones that are actually doing it, and it's those at the front lines. And that's why they need to be involved at the onboarding process. Now, while meeting the chief information officer is nice, but the true value definitely comes from meeting the help desk technician, the warehouse receiving administrative clerk, and so on and so on. So, again, pick and choose wisely and bring everybody, as many people from as many departments as possible, and especially those at the front lines, because those are the ones that are going to be meeting with each other. Those are the ones where the work really, truly gets done, and don't be fooled. Don't be fooled, because anybody up in that C-suite, And again, I'm not knocking the C-suite. I love the C-suite. But, and what I'm getting at is that strategy up there, down on the front lines, is tactics. And where the bullet hits the bone, steel's on target, right there, that's where things are happening. That's where truly is happening. That's where the money's changing hands. That's where the handshakes are really, truly taking place. And that's where the smiles are genuine and authentic. Because it's genuine and authentic work happening there at that line, the front lines. And I'm talking to you from someone who's been at both ends. I've been on the front lines and I've been up in the C-suite. And no matter how I want to believe it or fool myself or others want to fool themselves, it's still the front lines, because that's where the true leadership is happening. That's where the true action is happening. So another thing, about the onboarding process. The onboarding process does not have to just be one day event. No, do not be afraid to set aside a week, a month, even the first year of a phased array of trainings and meetings and committees and interactions. Now, this is to help make the new hire an active participant in the entire organization, not just the hiring department. So if somebody hired somebody in the accounting department, and that's where they're going to work. No, this whole phased array of trainings, meetings, committees, and interactions over months, weeks, years, or a year, it's to get them involved with everything else. Now, this does not mean that the new hire is going to be away from their hired worksite for a year. No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is they are given the opportunity throughout the year to intentionally work with other departments, groups, sections in the organization. Now, it also means that upfront, day one, or day two, or day three, whenever, but before the formal setting of the onboarding process is over, the new hire is given the opportunity to join any of the employee-centric committees and groups that your organization may have. This could mean the Christmas party planning committee, the ones that plan the corporate retreat, the ones that deal with health and safety in the workplace, and so on and so on. But they are given those opportunities because they're told, these are all the committees that exist, these are all the groups that exist, and you're more than welcome to sign up, and we'd like for everyone to be a member of at least one committee. Folks, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't take anything away. It takes nothing away from doing a job, especially if everyone's involved in the extracurricular activities of the organization. Because that Christmas party or holiday party or whatever you want to call it, or the winter party, whatever. If everyone's involved in doing something, then guess what? The Christmas party committee is going to try to outdo the corporate retreat committee. And so on and so on. So guess what? You make good things happen, because you not only turn it to an internal competition, you turn it into something that's going to benefit everyone, because everyone's involved. No one's going to feel left out. No one's going to be left out, because it's standard. They're required to participate, whether it's they attend every meeting or they just do submit their 2 cents by email. But as long as they're members of a group or a committee, that's what works. So you got to give them that, and you make sure that that's part of the process, that they're on there for at least a year from the date of hire. Because what else does it do? Brings in fresh ideas. New ideas. New ways of thinking. So, something to think about. Now, folks, this is not rocket science. It never has been. It never will be. When it comes to making a large, visible, and immediate first impression, it's not rocket science. If you're 2-person or a 2,000-employee organization, and you're not already doing something comprehensive like this, well, if it's got to be comprehensive, it's got to be well thought out, and it's got to be definitely onboarding. I mean, intentional onboarding, meaning you're really thoroughly including everybody in this entire onboarding process. Well, if you're not doing that, you are already failing to make a good impression. Consider yourself making a bad first impression. So get together now, work as a team now, and make change on that new day, that new hire day. That first day that the new employees come in, if you schedule it at the beginning of the month, in the middle of the month, whatever day of the month is the new hire day, it becomes now onboarding day. Get all the departments involved and get to work in making those new hires. Never doubt their first day with your organization. Again, because when they doubt their first day, right off the bat, what have I gotten myself into? All is lost. They are already looking to get out. And that's non-negotiable. It's true. So folks, what do you think about what I just talked about in this episode, episode 119, about the new hires and onboarding? Let me know if you have any comments, questions, concerns, ideas. You have an idea about what else could be done in the onboarding process, and do not hesitate. Get a hold of me. Reach out to me on Twitter at Dave Guerra, DaveGuerra. It's all one word. And also email dave@daveguerra.com. Visit my website, daveguerra.com, and reach out to me. Let me know there. Let me know what you think about this entire onboarding process and getting rid of the NEO, the new employee orientation. Because trust me, sure, the only valid thing is new employee, but orientation usually kind of leaves people disoriented as to how fast, how much of a hit and run that was. And having been victim of one of those, I understand. I'm telling you my experience. So thank you for your time. My name is David Guerra. I am the author of the books, The Walking Leader and Great to Follow, and pretty soon, We the Team. I thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time to download. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. I'm also on YouTube, Twitter, like I said, and Instagram too. So be sure to visit my website, daveguerra.com, and all of them in my contact section. All those links are there. Again, anything else you need, you can find at daveguerra.com/podcast. That's where you'll find this episode and any show notes that apply. And before I go, I want to remind you to always, always go beyond the grind and go beyond the hustle, because that's the only way to be the walking leader and a leader that is great to follow. Take care, folks.